from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, as I am every Friday afternoon on thegamenashville.com. We're on iTunes. You can subscribe. You can rate. You can also find us on SoundCloud. And then we put everything on thegamenashville.com as well. Multiple areas to find Chasing Checkers. Oh, and it plays throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So we talk a lot of NASCAR, a lot of auto racing. We have a huge show for you here today. Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR is going to join us here in just a few minutes. I'm going to pick his brain about Sonoma this weekend. They're going to race on the road course, plus some other topics going on in NASCAR. And then to end the show, the champ, Martin Truex Jr., he will join us as well. So DW and Martin Truex Jr., on today's show. Very excited about that, and appreciate NASCAR and Fox and everybody for making that all possible. We've been very lucky to have some really good guests this year here on Chasing Checkers in our very short history, as we are now in episode 6. But I got to lead things off, and I feel like I have talked about this in just about every episode since we started this show. And that is the rules package that they ran at the All-Star Race. There's been a lot of discussion. Would they run it again this year? They've tested it in the Xfinity Series. Of course, they ran it with the Cup guys at the All-Star Race. Drivers have had very mixed emotions about it. Brad Keselowski was pretty much against it. You had other drivers that were like, let's make sure they get it right and go through the proper testing. Well, it came out this week that they have decided not to run it anymore this year, that they are basically looking ahead to 2019, and that is when we might see it again in the Cup Series. And I've been pretty consistent about that. I wanted to see them try it, that I liked this rules package by watching the Xfinity races and watching the All-Star race, and I thought that it was something that could create some really good racing, create some excitement, and throw something back into NASCAR that's been missing. And I think that the fans appreciated the effort and what NASCAR was trying to do. But I also believe that they need to do their due diligence. And the fact that they're actually putting in the time and the research into this thing is a positive thing. I'm okay with them not racing again this year if they don't think it's the right thing to do. If they have talked to the drivers, if they have done all the research and everything tells them, you know what, we're better off continuing to test and to wait until next year, I'm totally fine with that. Because if you go and you do something that doesn't work, it's going to affect the racing, it's going to affect the outcome of the races, and ultimately will affect the championship in some form or fashion. Prime example. Several years ago, they tried a new tire compound at Indianapolis, and there were wrecks every 10 laps because the tire kept breaking apart. That was a terrible race, one that they want to forget. They don't want any type of instance like that again. So I think this thing is probably going to come into fruition at some point, but I also think that they need to just keep doing the research, and they'll get it right. And then they can go ahead and put it in. Maybe they got to run it again in the All-Star race next year. Maybe that's what they need to do. But I do think that they're going to eventually put this thing into the series, and it's going to create great racing and create excitement, something that this series and this sport really needs right now. Earlier this week on NASCAR.com, NASCAR Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Development Officer Steve O'Donnell talked about the decision to not run this rules package again this year.
Through the cooperation of the industry, we were able to get a preview of the drafting package at the All-Star race this year. We're certainly pleased with the results. We're really happy with the racing that we have on the track. What we want to do is continue to deliver on that great racing product. And to do that, we need to spend the proper time talking to the engine builders, the OEMs, the race teams, to see what, if anything, we could do for this year. We all collectively felt like the best thing to do was to really put some additional effort into some potential tweaks and focus on 2019 versus a race or two this season. Everyone is aligned on, doing what's best for the fans.
And I think that's the most important thing he could say, is doing what's best for the fans. That was Steve O'Donnell, NASCAR Executive Vice President. To me, that is something that they haven't always been good about. They haven't always done what's best for the friend, for the fans. I think that sometimes they'll make decisions that they think is good for competition, but it makes the product look really bad. They have taken this situation and they've put in time and effort and talked to people and studied, and it's not something that they have rushed into. And I credit Steve O'Donnell with that. So Steve O'Donnell has come into his position. I think that he has been the guy that has basically gone behind closed doors and said, hey, look, we got an issue. We got to fix this. We got to make this fun again. We got to make ourselves look intelligent and like we know what we're doing. And I think that he's done a good job of doing that. So I will give Steve O'Donnell a ton of credit for doing the research and basically heading this whole effort up for this drafting package. And looks like now it'll be 2019. Clint Bowyer was asked about that at Sonoma in his pre-race press conference. This is what he had to say about it.
I don't either. It's their idea, you know, and their decision, and they do a great job. Man, there's so much going on in this sport, and we looked at that and tried it in the All-Star race. That's a great format to be able to do that. Showed promise, you know what I mean? But there's still more to learn in that and everything else. So, they obviously, I heard it just like you. I was off this weekend just like you were, and probably read it on Twitter just like you did, and start calling the boys at home. But I mean, I appreciate that we tried that, appreciate that it showed some promise for our future, and also appreciate that what we have right now is just fine to be able to go for a championship and hopefully be a part of that with the 14 car.
So you can tell that I think Clint Bowyer, and look, Clint's one of those guys, he's going to support the sanctioning body. He's not going to say anything. He's going to speak his mind, but he's also not going to say anything that, especially about an idea that is barely off the ground, like, oh, no, this is stupid. We don't need to do that. Now, you have some drivers that are going to be opinionated on it, and they should have input. But I think it's one of those things that you can't jump to conclusions on whether it's awesome or whether it isn't, or whether it's going to work or whether it's not, based on an exhibition race. I loved it, and I've said that. I've told you that over and over again. But I've also said that I want to see them, either if they're going to try it, make sure it's at the right track, make sure it's the right time, make sure everybody is on board with it. And clearly, everybody's not on board with it yet. And so they have made the right decision to go ahead and wait until 2019. You're listening to Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, thegamenashville.com. We drop every Friday afternoon. You can find us in the iTunes store where you subscribe to podcasts. Rate us as well. We're on SoundCloud. Just search for Chasing Checkers. And then thegamenashville.com is always your home for everything on demand. Again, Darrell Waltrip coming up from Fox NASCAR here in just a few minutes. Martin Truex Jr. will be in the final segment. So we have a ton to get to today. But I do want to touch on Sonoma this weekend, the road course. They had the weekend off. And so I think that it's always interesting to see what these drivers have after a weekend off, because they don't get a lot of them. And it was Father's Day weekend, and a lot of these guys are dads now. So I think it was good to give them the weekend off to kind of refresh and get ready to go road racing. It's the last race for NASCAR on Fox this season. NBC will take over next week, and of course that means Dale Earnhardt Jr. makes his debut in the booth, so that will be pretty cool. But they got to turn right, and they got to turn left, and I was one of those people, when I first started watching NASCAR, I hated the road courses because it was different. It wasn't the same. I liked the ovals. I liked the Daytonas and the Bristols and Martinsvilles and Atlanta and Charlotte. I liked those kinds of tracks that had different character. Well, as I got older and started to appreciate the sport even more, I got into the road courses. It started with Watkins Glen and then now Sonoma. I think the wine country, I mean, I think it's fun because you can really see some of the skill that these guys have and how they're able to navigate the road courses. And one of those guys that has become a pretty good road racer is Clint Bowyer. And I'll give you some stats before we hear from him again. But I'll give you some stats, some kings of road racing. Of course, Jeff Gordon at Sonoma leads the way, not active anymore, but five wins. You look at a guy like A.J. Allmendinger. I call him a road racing ringer. He has one win on this racetrack, but always runs well there, and I would look to him this weekend as being somebody that can, A, put the Chevys back in victory lane, but he's going to cause a stir because I think he's going to be up towards the front. Kyle Busch has two wins at Sonoma, two at Watkins Glen. He has run well at these tracks. He has made himself a road racer, somebody that you can always watch basically any time this year because of the success that he's had. But his brother Kurt only has one win, but 10 top fives, which is most of the active of any active driver. Four out of the last 10, he's been in the top five at Sonoma. Pretty impressive by Kurt Busch. And with the way Stewart Haas Racing has been running as of late, not just Kevin Harvick, but Clint Bowyer, and then Kurt Busch finishing third at Michigan, would not be surprised to see that old 41 up there towards the front as well. Martin Truex Jr., who you'll hear from a little later in the show, has one win at both road course tracks, but he is a guy that does well on these tracks. Clint Bowyer, who you will hear from in just a second, has one win, nine top fives at road courses. He's second to Kurt Busch of active drivers. And then the defending champion of this race, Kevin Harvick, 16 top tens at road courses. So you have some road racers in the NASCAR Cup Series, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch. Here is Clint Bowyer on running at Sonoma.
Well, just Watkins Glen is so fast. It's, I mean, just dive bombs, and you're really, really carrying a lot of speed at a place like Watkins Glen. Here, it's like that short track. It's like being at Martinsville. You know, did you see my car at the end of the year last year or at the end of the race? I mean, it was destroyed, and drove up through them. I think, you know, passed the field twice because of, you know, mistakes that we made, and got spun out once. I mean, it was a wild race to be able to finish second in that. You can't do that at Watkins Glen. That car would not have ran in the top 10 at Watkins Glen. You know, braking, getting into these corners at 11, you're sitting here looking at it. I mean, I know when I get in this car just a little bit, you've got to be on your game over there. You go through that little swell right there, and a car unloads, and once they get light, it's really easy to wheel hop. Then you got to be able to get it woed down to get on the bottom down there, you know, and get that thing launched off the corner, up through the gears, up on the hill, blind corners. I mean, there's just, this track has way more than other tracks. I mean, you know, Watkins Glen, you go up through that hill, but you can see the other side. You know, you pop the crest of the hill up there and come back down. I mean, you're like, I think I'm good. I think I'm not good. I'm in the dirt. You know, I mean, it's just one of those tracks that's, you've got to be on your game. And it's very, very technical. And the minute you're not, you're off the racetrack and in trouble.
Completely agree with Clint Bowyer. And you watch this Sunday on FS1, 2 o'clock Central Time. You'll see that. You'll see that, you know, there's a lot of skill. There's a lot of thought that goes into navigating Sonoma, and only the best seem to survive. I mean, and he's right. There is a little bit of a short track mentality with this place because of the way they're beating and banging on each other, that you're trying to manipulate the corners and basically drive through. And if there's a guy in your way, you will see drivers push them out of the way and just move past them by using their speed. So it's going to be a fun race this weekend at Sonoma. We will get into that and much, much more with my next guest, Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR and, of course, Franklin Zone. He joins us next here on Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Yo, Nashville, Buck Rising, Tennessee Titans insider, and the host of your favorite new podcast, Tackling Music City, here. Join us as we talk about all things two-tone blue with current and former players, football experts, and analysts from all walks of life every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on thegamenashville.com, in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and every weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you, and so excited to be joined by my next guest, Franklin's own Darrell Waltrip of Fox NASCAR. Of course, he'll be on the coverage this weekend from Sonoma, 2 o'clock Central Time on FS1. DW, how's it going? Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, so Chase, you want to talk about the chase, right?
Absolutely, always the chase.
Yeah. No, getting ready to head out to California, out to Sonoma, do a little road racing this weekend. It's the last race of the year for us on Fox. So it's kind of bittersweet. we get it going. I always feel like we get everything going, get it all set up, kind of see how things are going to play out, get a little excitement, and then we have to step away and turn it over to the other guys. But it's been fun so far this year. Been kind of interesting, and you know, it's just the NASCAR is always changing things, making things a little different, always makes it a little more interesting as we go down the road.
Well, you got to keep people watching, and I think changes will do that. Do you get the same feeling when you go into the last race that you're going to cover for Fox that you did when you got to the end of the season when you were driving?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, I could get pretty emotional about it if sometimes I have. You know, you get a little teary-eyed sometimes thinking about this is the last race you're going to do this year, and the season continues on. It's almost like a pitcher that's throwing a no-hitter and they take him out, put him on the bench, put somebody else in, or you know, any sport where you got the lead, things are going well, and then they run somebody else in on you. So I can get a little emotional about it, but I've been doing this for 18 years now, so I've gotten pretty comfortable with the fact that this is our last race, and my wife loves it. I mean, Stevie thinks it's a great idea. Work about a half a year, and then next half of the year, I can take care of the honey-do list. So it turns out pretty well. I don't even know sometimes, Chase, if I could. I don't know if I could do the whole year or not. It's people don't realize how hard we work, how much effort we put into what we do, and the amount of time that we spend on the road, just like the race teams do. So I sometimes wonder if I could do the whole year or not. There are races I wish we had in our schedule. I love Indy. I love the road courses, and I'd love to be a part of the final 10 Chase races, but we got the Daytona 500, and that kind of offsets everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find yourself, do you sometimes go to the racetrack even when you guys don't have the races? Do you try and hit a couple of the tracks during your off season?
Yeah, I still have my favorites. Occasionally I'll go up to Bristol for the night race because that's always one of my favorites. I go to Charlotte for the fall race. Going to be interesting this year. Mm-hmm. You know, with the Roval where they're going to run on the infield road course, everybody's curious to see how that's going to turn out. It hadn't gotten real high raves so far from the guys that have tested there. It's not exactly to their liking, but it's new and it's different. And, you know, just like we said earlier, people kind of like change, like to see something different. I'm sure probably a lot of people go there just to see what happens. So I go to Charlotte. I go to Darlington for the throwback weekend. Usually got a car over there or two that's, you know, representative of a car I drove back in the 70s or 80s. And then occasionally, not every year, but occasionally I go to Homestead for the final race, kind of depending on how things are setting up. So I try to make – I probably make it one race a month in the second half of the year just to kind of let people see my face and know that I'm still interested and still hanging around.
Talking with Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR and, of course, Franklin native at Sonoma this weekend. We'll talk about that in a second. But, DW, what do you make of Stewart Haas Racing and their success that they've had so far this season? Kevin Harvick, of course, has been dominant, but Clint Bowyer has been a part of things with a couple of wins. Kurt Busch is running well. Eric Almirola seems to be fitting in. But Stewart Haas, they seem to be on the path to a possible championship.
Yeah, they really do. You know, the Fords this year have dominated, you know, with Joey Logano winning Talladega and Bowyer winning, with Kevin winning. The Fords have been pretty dominant this year when we look at practice qualifying and usually race results. The Blue Ovals dominate the top 10. They have the oldest car. That car has been around for 2 or 3, 4 years now, so they've got the oldest car. So they've kind of refined it. The Monte Carlo or the Camaro this year is a new car for the Chevrolet teams. They're still struggling with that. The Toyota teams last year had their new car come online. They've got it refined, and so Kyle Busch is, you know, equal to what Kevin's doing in the Toyota. But I think one of the things that maybe behind the scenes that people don't realize or recognize is Tony Gibson. Tony Gibson mm-hmm. was Kurt Busch's crew chief. And Tony came off the road as crew chief, and he became shop manager at Stewart Haas. And a smart guy, been around this sport for a long, long time. And I talked to him recently, and he said one of the things that he is really, really dedicated to doing is making sure all four cars are the same when they leave the shop. And you might say, well, they're all teammates, so their cars are all alike, blah, blah, blah. They're not. Every crew chief has a little something different he likes to do to his car. Every crew chief has a little different setup every crew chief approaches everything a little bit differently. But if the cars all leave the shop, if they all leave over there in Concord, all alike, when they get to the track, then you fine-tune that car to the driver. And I think that's one reason why we've seen the results that we've seen out of those Stewart Haas cars this year. They're all more like Kevin Harvick's car was. He was the dominant car last year. He's the dominant car this year. Rodney Childress, great crew chief, smart guy, former driver. I think he and Kevin got a little something that, you know, that together they got some good chemistry. But I think the other three teams have benefited from the success that Kevin and Rodney have had. I think that's why we're seeing the dominance out of that company this year. In the same way, if you look at Gibbs, last year about this time, they hadn't won any races. Kyle Busch had been pretty competitive. Martin Truex had been the dominant Toyota from the drop of the green last year, but at the middle of the season, the others, Denny Hamlin and Suarez, and those guys, Eric Jones this year, they kind of come on. So I think we're at a point where things might change a little bit. I think the guys are getting a little bit better with the Camaro. The Hendrick guys are, and the Childress guys are getting a little bit better with that Camaro. They made some gains there. They got a new engine package, seemed to help them a little bit. So I think the second half of the year, with the schedule being a little different, with Indy, you know, being in a different place on the schedule, Richmond in the playoffs, I think we may see some different results in the second half of the year. But right now, looking at where we are, there's no question that if you want to win a race, you got to beat Kevin Harvick and those Stewart Haas cars.
Do you think it's good for the sport to, because we've seen it so many times in the past, that you have a handful of guys that are off in a league of their own, and then you have everyone else. Do you think it's good for the sport to kind of have that we've been talking about Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and then you kind of have everyone else?
Yeah, well, we talk about the big three, you know, it's Harvick, Busch, and Truex.
Right.
And, of course, I always say, well, who are the next three? And that's kind of a debate that we have all the time about who's going to be the next three guys. You know, we've only had six winners so far this year, which is kind of makes you wonder how many winners we're actually going to have when we get to the chase. A lot of these guys are going to point their way into the playoffs, a lot different than maybe where they've had to in the past. We've had, I don't know, 12, I think, winners last year we had. And so you want a race, win, and you're in. This year it looks like a lot of guys are getting in on their point standings, and that's what makes the races kind of interesting for us with the stages and the stage points and the playoff points that you accumulate. That could be big when we get to the 10 race playoffs at the latter part of the season. So I love having a dominant team. I love having somebody to shoot at. I like a benchmark. I don't like parity. You know what? All parity is, that's easy for the officials. When everybody's the same, it makes it easy to officiate. When everybody has the same equipment, same car, same everything, it's pretty easy to officiate. I don't like parity. I like it when somebody's dominant and everybody's trying to take them down. I like I got somebody a top gun and everybody's shooting at them, and that's what makes sport interesting. Sport's interesting. It's competition, and you let it kind of find its own level, seek its own level. And if one guy's better than you are, you got to figure out how to beat him, not have the sanctioning body or somebody slow him down and bring him down to your level. You got to get up to his level some way.
Darrell Waltrip on the line with us here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He'll be on the call at Sonoma for the race this weekend on FS1. So a little road racing, DW. I know it's always kind of different for these drivers that don't have the background, and they have to go through different types of preparation, and they have to turn right. So what kind of goes into prepping for a road course?
You know, back in my era, the driver made the difference. You know, some guys were really good on road courses. I have six wins on road courses. There were others, Tim Richmond, Bobby Allison, Terry Labonte. There were a number of guys that were pretty good on road courses, but it was mainly the driver that could make the difference. And now it's the car. I drove the car around in Sonoma last year, a Toyota, and I could not believe how easy, I don't like the word to use, easy, but how much better that car drove than the cars I'd ever driven. It was so precise. It shifts quickly. It accelerates smoothly. It brakes. The brakes are incredible. The cars stop. All the things that you would want a car to do on a road course, these cars are doing now. And I think that's why we see a diverse bunch of people going out here to Sonoma or Watkins Glen, either one, and being pretty successful. The cream still rises to the top. You know, it's the sum of all the parts, the driver, the car, the crew, the whole yards. But I will say that the car has improved dramatically over what I'd always driven. And I think that's helped a lot of these guys adapt to road racing maybe a little bit better than what we've seen in the past. So you never know who's going to win this race. You know, Clint Bowyer, he's got a win out there. McMurray's good. Kurt Busch is good. Kyle Busch is good. Harvick's good. There's just a lot of guys. This might be a weekend Chase Elliott in that 24 car or in the 9 car this year. He might get a win out there. You just don't know who's going to pull it off because there's so much strategy involved with double file restarts. We didn't used to have that. It used to be single file. Now you got the chase, the stage breaks where you kind of know when you're going to have cautions. We didn't have that for a long time. So it changes the strategy on the road course. If you nail it, and you're on the track at the right time with the right tires, the right position, you're probably going to win that race. And that's really where the race is won and lost a lot of times now, is in the pits and the strategy that the crew chief employs.
Now, you mentioned it's hard to predict who's going to win, but a guy that, you know, I've looked at the last couple of weeks that you mentioned, the Chevys and the Camaro and Hendrick Motorsports, Jimmy Johnson, of course, hasn't necessarily been the Jimmy Johnson that we've all known over the last few years, but it seems like he's getting a tick better. Do you think this is the type of track where we could see Jimmy Johnson make his way towards the front?
Oh, definitely. He's a good road racer. He and Chad Knaus, you know, Chad's a great statistician. He calls a great race. I'm sure he's working on a strategy right now for what's going to happen on Sunday. Jimmy gets around that Sonoma racetrack as good as anybody. I think the Hendrick cars all will run good. I think Bowman will run pretty good out there. He spent a lot of his time in a simulator this past week. Getting familiar with the track. I think William Byron will be good. The amazing thing to all of us is that Chase Elliott hadn't won a race. We all thought he
floors me
to win a race or two by now, and he hadn't won one yet, so this might be his week.
Talking with Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR and a guy that you share the booth with Jeff Gordon. He was a pretty good road racer in his own right, especially at Sonoma. You've had a few years to work with him now. What have you learned from Jeff Gordon? What has he taught you since coming into the Fox NASCAR booth?
Yeah, it's really been, the first year was a little awkward. We're from two different generations.
Right.
I didn't race with Jeff a lot. I've watched him race more than I raced with him. So I had a lot of preconceived notions about how he, you know, what kind of guy he was and how we were going to get along. And the first year was a little awkward. He was afraid he was going to say something, do something wrong, and I've never worried about that. And so it took a little time, but last year was good, and this year, this has been the best year yet. We're having fun. I can cut up with him. You know, like when you talk about Sonoma, if you look at the record book, you'd think we're going to the Gordonville. If you look at the records, he's got the most wins. He's got the most top fives. He's got the most top tens. He's led the most laps. I think he's got the most starts. He owned that racetrack. And so it's good for him because we always kid each other. We go to Bristol and he says, you know, you're the king of Bristol. You're the king of Martinsville. You're the king of Charlotte. And now we're going to go to a track where, you know, we'll be able to brag on him a little bit. But what I've learned about him, he's a great team player. He really works hard. He's a lot more technical than I am. He likes graphs and charts. I just like to know the beginning and the end. He likes to know all the in-betweens. And we really turned out to be we compliment each other. I talk about a lot of old school stuff. He talks about things that the drivers are doing today. And which really turned out well. We've been able to marry that together. And then, you know, Mike Joy, he's our leader, and he's right there, you know, getting us in and getting us out. And we got a nice little team right now. I'm really happy with what we're doing.
Well, and I think it's cool, too, that, you know, Larry McReynolds was a part of the booth for so long, and he's still there with you guys being the crew chief, and now you have the two drivers and the crew chief that can all weigh in. It makes for a nice product.
It really does, and you know, a lot of people, Larry's still there. We're the three of us basically talk about what we're seeing on the track. Mike and Jeff and I, we talk about the race and what's going on the track and those kind of things. And then we have Larry, who's observing all the time. He may pick up something on Hawkeye that he has that a car is doing that we didn't notice, or that somebody back in the field has got a different strategy, or there's a pit road violation or there's a rule violation. Larry spends his whole time watching the race as an official, and then as his knowledge as a crew chief, and he's able to implement that into our broadcast. And so it's like having a four-man booth, but three of us are in the, you know, on camera, and then Larry's in his little room right next to us. He has more tools to work with than we do. He's got what they call a Hawkeye system. He can zero on any car on the track. He's got about five monitors he can watch. He can look at replays. And so he gets a chance to really analyze the race and then throw that in during the telecast, and it really makes for it. It just complements everything we're doing.
Darrell Waltrip on the line with us from Fox NASCAR. Now, you have part of your off season, if you want to call it that, October 17th and 18th. You have the 9th annual Waltrip Brothers Charity Championship. Clint Black is going to be the headliner. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And I know it helps Motor Racing Outreach.
Yeah, Motor Racing Outreach. Stevie and I and a couple other couples started the ministry back in 1987. It's our chapel at the track. They travel to all the races. We have chaplains that are all the time. We have about 20 people that work in our Charlotte office. They're at the Speedway there, at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. And we have a Bible club for the kids. We have a family community center at the track in the owner-driver lot, coach lot. And then the chaplains are on pit road. And, you know, we're everybody's church away from home. A lot of guys don't have a home church, and so they feel like MRO and the services we provide there, that's their home church. So the tournament, the dinner, is all to raise funds for that ministry. The tournament is out at the Legends, and then the dinner is on Wednesday night, the 17th. It's a factory in Liberty Hall over there, and we're really blessed to have Clint Black be our headliner this year. We have about 500-600 people that come to that dinner. A lot of drivers, NASCAR celebrities, car owners, NASCAR officials. It's a really big blowout we have there on Wednesday night. I think a lot of the guys even end up, downtown in Nashville after the dinner. And then they drag in and we try to play golf on Thursday. So it's a couple of days event and it's well attended. It's fun. If you want to know more about the dinner and the tournament, Van Colley over in our office in Charlotte. You can contact him at Darrell Waltrip Motorsports, and he'll fill you in all the details.
Very, very cool event that you and your brother Michael do, and you and Stevie as well. So I definitely wanted to get the word out on that. Before I let you go, you know, you made the transition from driver to analyst. Jeff Gordon did the same thing. Dale Earnhardt Jr. retires at the end of last season. He'll make his debut with NBC after you guys turn it over to them next week. Any advice you have for Dale Jr. and what can we expect from him in the booth?
Yeah, well, what I love about Dale Jr. and always have is he's kind of a historian, a lot like I am. You know, with his father being famous and being around the sport his whole life, so he knows a lot about back in the day, and he knows about like current events. So I think he'll be a lot like Jeff Gordon has been. He'll bring a perspective. Particularly, where I think Dale Jr. will shine is at Daytona and Talladega. Those were two of his best racetracks. And the information and knowledge he has about those tracks. Here's the thing that people don't realize. You can go up there and you can be a guest analyst. And you can do it every now and then. And it's a lot of fun. But then you go back and do your regular job of driving the car. But when you have to go up there week after week, weekend after weekend, be prepared. And call the race from one track to the next and keep up with current events and try to be fun and entertaining and informative. It's not easy. It's like I kind of compare it to being a preacher. You know, they think you only preach on Sunday. Well, that's not true. It's the same way we are. We have conference calls on Tuesday. It takes a couple of hours. We got to do our homework. We got to be ready to go on, for practice, qualifying, and the race. So we're on TV on a weekend, anywhere from 8 to 10 hours, and so you have to be prepared. It's a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of fun. It's really enjoyable, and I think Dale Jr. will do fine. I think he has a personality and the information and everything that he knows and everything that he's done that he'll be able to transfer that into, you know, relating that to the audience and to the race. I think people enjoy it. There's always the shiny new penny factor.
When you're the new guy, everybody tunes in to see what the new guy is going to do and what the new guy has to say. The question is, can you keep them tuned in and can you keep them interested in what you have to say? That's the question.
Daryl, I appreciate the time. This has been a lot of fun. Leave us with this. I love these, you know, theoretical questions. If you can combine eras in NASCAR, Darrell Waltrip, Dale Earnhardt, Cale Yarborough, Jimmy Johnson, and Tony Stewart are all coming to the line at Daytona. What happens?
Well, it's going to be a hell of a wreck. That's the first thing. Because anytime Earnhardt's involved, you know there's going to be contact. And Tony, he doesn't take any crap. You know, he don't want you blocking him. So I'm going to sit there, and I'm probably going to watch Dale wreck Tony, and then they'll take out Johnson, and I'll come through the smoke, and I'll be the winner.
I love it. I love it. DW, this has been awesome. Let's do it again soon. I appreciate the time.
All right, pal. Anytime. No problem.
The one and only Darrell Waltrip. Really, really good stuff from him. If you miss any of that, you can go to thegamenashville.com and check it out on demand. Appreciate him taking the time to come on Chasing Checkers this week. He's a guy that I've been watching on TV for years, like most of you, but I also remember when he was racing, and have gone back and watched old races and old interviews to really learn my history of Jaws, and just really cool to have him on. But we're not done. We're not done with the guests. I told you that we had an all-star edition of Chasing Checkers. The champ, he's coming up next, the defending Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion, Martin Truex Jr., is in the on-deck circle. That is next, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, streaming online at thegamenashville.com. And we've had a loaded show already. We had Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR on, and we're gonna end things right with the champ himself. Martin Truex Jr. has been nice enough to join the show. Martin, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Getting ready to watch you guys turn right and turn left and all which way this weekend at Sonoma. I know that creates a different level of difficulty, but you've won at that racetrack before. It has to be a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely excited about the weekend, and love coming out here to Sonoma. It's a great racetrack, great, just a great area in general. So looking forward to it. Hopefully we can get it done.
So is that something that you have to, I know you guys use the simulator a lot these days, but having, you know, run there so many times in your career, is that something that you have to prepare for differently, or is it just another race weekend for you?
I definitely think it's just another race weekend for me. You know, we've been going there long enough. I feel like I can pretty much show up and go out on the racetrack in the first lap, get it all out of the car. So I love road course racing. I enjoy this one in particular, and definitely feel like we got a good handle on it. So just prepare like it's another race weekend and hopefully go out and get the job done.
Martin, you look at the season so far for the series. You've had two guys in Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch that have won a ton of races between the two of them. You kind of had that type of success last year on your run to the championship, but you've kind of been considered by many to be the third horse in this race, having two wins on your own. What is it that's been working for you guys, especially as you move in now to kind of the second half of the season, and how do you catch Harvick and Busch?
I think for us, it's just been a steady, solid season. We've had really good speed most places. We've been off a few races here and there, but I think most importantly this year, we've had a little bit more up and downs. You know, we had four really bad races in a row where we got caught up in wrecks or blew a tire, and you know, that kind of set us back points wise. So, and also I felt like maybe one or two of those we would have had a shot to win. So, I feel like where we're at right now, with the struggles and some of the things that are kind of the headwinds we fought this year, where we're at, I think we're in a really good spot. Feel like at any, point in time we can show up and win. And, that's what we're going to try to do this weekend. So I think, those guys have definitely been more consistent about leading laps and finishing off races. But, again, we've had quite a bit of things bite us this year, and we didn't last year. So just keep fighting through those. But I know we've got the team. We've got the speed. Our cars have been fast all year. And just, got to put it all together.
Martin Truex Jr. on the line with us. He'll be racing at Sonoma this weekend, the road course. You can catch that at 2 o'clock Central Time on FS1. So, Martin, when you look at last year and the dominance that you guys had and the run through the playoffs and ultimately winning the championship, and now this year, as you just said, you've had some bad luck here or there, but you've been running, you know, you've had speed, you've been running well. What is the biggest difference in kind of the mindset of the driver when you go from what happened last year to how you're running this year?
Really, not a whole lot different mindset. Just trying to find all those little things. You know, I felt like last year we were so dialed in, like just in every aspect of, in every facet of racing. Our pit crew was phenomenal. I felt like I was getting everything out of the car. It seemed like every single weekend, it just seemed like we would unload off the trailer and be in the ball game and have speed, and the car would be close to where I like it. You know, this year, it seems like it's been a little more inconsistent. You know, we've been to a few places where we've unloaded off the truck on the weekend, and we've been off a little bit. And you know, we had, because of that, maybe we didn't qualify as well as we should have, and then we had to work on it more throughout practice and in the race. So it just seems like for us, we haven't been able to hit the nail just perfectly square on the head as consistently as we did last year. So for me, the mindset is just, you know, focus in, work hard, do whatever it takes, do the things that got us to where we're at, and, you know, don't get too worried about being off a little bit maybe at the start of the weekend.
Do you feel like, though, now as you kind of enter, you know, we're going to Daytona here in a few weeks in the second half of the season and through the summer months, that's when you can really start to make some headway as you make the run towards the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that we're, you know, we've been the last couple of years really heavily, you know, a factor in the playoffs, I guess you could say, obviously with last year, but really the last couple of seasons. And I think we have a good feeling and understanding of you know, the approach it takes to be competitive, to be ready for it when it starts, because the pressure just goes through the roof, you know, when that starts. So being able to put up with that and being able to understand what it's going to take as far as, you know, stepping up your game and bringing the best you got to the racetrack each week. So, yeah, I feel good about that. I mean, certainly, you know, this weekend will be a good one to win. I feel like last really 2 years we were the car to beat here and had some problems. So hopefully that luck will turn around this weekend for us. And then we'll carry that momentum through the summer and get ready for playoffs.
Do you take a little time to kind of enjoy the wine country when you're not at the racetrack?
No, not really. I love coming out here. We usually go to dinner and stuff, but you know, for me, no partaking in the wine while we're out here working. So unfortunately, it's all business and no play, aside from getting to sightsee maybe a little bit after practice.
Now, one thing you did get to do, which was a little bit of play, is you threw out the first pitch at the Colorado Rockies game, and you threw a perfect strike, my friend. That was. Did you have a baseball background?
I played for a long time when I was a kid. I mean, from, you know, I don't know, when I was 5 or 6, I guess I started and played till I was about 16. So played a lot of baseball. I really enjoyed it. Maybe when I was real little, I kind of had aspirations of being a big leaguer someday. So pretty cool to get to go on the field and do all that and see it. So I've got to do that a few times now. It was my second time at the Rockies throwing out the pitch, and it was definitely a fun night.
And it's a beautiful park. I actually went out there back in April when I was with the Nashville Predators and they were playing the Avalanche. Got to go to that park for the first time. Really cool place.
Yeah, it really is nice. I've been impressed by it. A lot of nice people work there as well, so it's always a good time.
So you go through everything last year, and I remember watching it on TV and seeing the whole championship celebration, and I think the thing that stood out to everybody was the moment that you had with your girlfriend Sherry and being able to share that with her as you won the championship for the first time. How is she doing? How's her health, and how is all the charitable work that you guys are doing going?
Oh, thanks for asking. Yeah, she's doing great, healthy. She finished up her chemo, you know, back earlier this past winter. So things are going really well. She's feeling good and really been pretty much back to normal routine here the last 4 or 5 months. So definitely cool to, you know, celebrate that championship and have her finishing her chemo up and things going well there. So everything's going good, man. I mean, life is good, as they say, and hopefully it continues that way.
Well, it definitely appears that way, and I know that a lot of people were pulling for you guys going for the championship, and it looks like you're on your way for another playoff run and possibly a back-to-back. is you get to go to Sonoma this weekend. You mentioned you love racing there, and as I mentioned earlier, you have the win there as well. So best of luck this weekend, and go get them.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and hopefully, hopefully it'll be our weekend. We'll see what we can do.
Just a classy individual, Martin Truex Jr., the defending Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion. Appreciate him taking the time to join us this week on Chasing Checkers. The Darrell Waltrip interview, this interview, posted on thegamenashville.com. If you missed it, of course, you can find the entire podcast on Apple iTunes and also SoundCloud. And then we put everything on thegamenashville.com as well. So really appreciate our guests this week. But as we have a few minutes to wrap things up, Sonoma, that's what we've been talking about with both DW and Martin Truex Jr., the road courses. Now they have three road courses on the schedule. If you count the Roval at Charlotte, which I do, they now have three road courses. For years, they've gone to Sonoma and Watkins Glen. And you look at some of the kings of the road courses that we talked about earlier. Martin Truex Jr. is a guy that stands out to me now because he has two wins. He has one win at Sonoma, he has a win at Watkins Glen. But the way he's been running lately, he's been running up towards the front. I know last weekend or 2 weeks ago at Michigan was not what he was looking for, finished somewhere the back of the top 20. But I think that they're starting to find things. They're starting to find their speed. And now we can truly say this is a three-horse race. He could go out there on Sunday and be the winner of this race. Now, I don't think it's going to be easy for him by any means, because you look at some of the guys that are in the field. Jimmy Johnson, that we talked about with Darrell Waltrip, you know, he's kind of become a road racer. AJ Allmendinger is a road racing ringer in who has won on these road races before. It's his lone Cup Series win is at Sonoma. But I think he's going to be a factor. I think he wants this probably more than anybody for that team to try and get a win and get them into the playoffs. So I think you have to watch out for him. Both the Busch brothers, and the one that really stood out to me when I was doing my research on this, and I said this earlier, Kyle Busch has two wins at Sonoma, two at Watkins Glen, so four road course wins. His brother Kurt has only won once on the road courses, but he has 10 top fives, the most of any active driver. So I think you have to watch out for the Busch brothers, especially with the success that Stuart Haas Racing has had as of late. And of course, Clint Bowyer, he has success there too, and Kevin Harvick. So you're going to have to watch out for those Stuart Haas guys. But I think this also could be the weekend that Chevy might break through, whether it's the Jimmy Johnson or AJ Allmendinger or someone else. Chase Elliott has become a pretty decent road racer in his own right. So this could be the weekend where Chevy gets back in victory lane, their only victory this year being the Daytona 500 with Austin Dillon. So we'll see how it turns out. We'll talk about it next week. We'll have more guests as well. Again, subscribe, rate. You can go to iTunes, find Chasing Checkers, download it, listen every week. It'll download a new episode for you as they come out every Friday afternoon. You can also find us on thegamenashville.com and also on SoundCloud as well. So thanks for listening. As always, I am Chase McCabe. Enjoy the race weekend, everybody. And thanks for listening to Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game and thegamenashville.com.